everybody. Welcome to Hiking My Feelings Virtual Campfire. This is campfire number 36. Holy guacamole, number two of 2021. And we have some awesome people here today. I'm really excited about this group. Today, I'll be interviewing Danny Reyes Acosta and Nathan Feinstein from Ayaterra. Before we jump into all that, I want to share a couple updates. So to start with our Take a Hike Diabetes campaign today, guys, today has been such an awesome day. There's a lot of things that I can't even talk about yet about how awesome they are, but there are some updates I can share. So as of right before this broadcast, as a community, we've hiked 759 plus miles for diabetes awareness. 62 participants have registered for the Million Mile Challenge. We are on a mission to make a million miles for diabetes awareness. We've done 759. So we've got like 999,000 and change to go. We're going to do it. I'm excited about it. And we've raised $2,845 for the campaign. So thank you to everybody who has registered. A quick note about registration. So for the Million Mile Challenge in particular, we have three different registration tiers. The first one is $15. That's the minimum entry to get into the challenge and start tracking your miles towards our goal and raising money for the organization. At $35, you get this sweet glow-in-the-dark Nalgene bottle. I'm going to try not to dump it on my computer. It glows in the dark. We tested it in the bathroom before we went on live, and it's awesome. So that is our water bottle at the $35 level. At the $50 level, you get this sweet hat. It glows in the dark. It's bright blue. It says Take a Hike Diabetes on the side. At $100, you get a sweet shirt like the one I got on. Hey. It says Take a Hike Diabetes on it. I wrote you a love note on the inside tag. It says defeating diabetes together one step at a time. That's how we roll. So we also have a hoodie at $250, and then we have a really cool new prize at the $500 donation level, or when you raise $500, you get an annual membership to the Summit Circle. And you're like, wow, Sydney, what is that? I've never heard of it. Good thing, because I'm going to tell you about it. So the Summit Circle started as a extension program for our Blazer on Trail to Self-Love program, which is a 12-week intensive. It started in January. We also offer this as a self-paced program that's available on demand for you to join whenever you want. And we are going to start offering this as a monthly workshop series as well. So when you raise $500 in the Take a Hike Diabetes campaign, whether you donate that yourself or your friends and family back you to support you on your journey to better health, you get an annual membership to the Summit Circle. So what does that include? Well, you can join us as a VIP member of the virtual campfire. So that means you get to join us here on Zoom in our studio audience. We do a pre-show chat. We do sound check with our musical guests. We do Q&A. We do our group gratitude circle. You get prizes from our sponsors and partners. It's so much fun. So every Thursday you can jam with us here. We also have weekly Summit Circle gatherings. So if you are looking for a soft place to land and call home, each week we host affinity group gatherings for the community. And in all reality, making friends is hard enough as it is as an adult, especially when we're so isolated because of COVID and everything else. So this is a place where you can learn from each other, lean on each other, and create deep, meaningful connections with the members of our community. And some of the examples of the groups that we support, we're having a group for hiking, planning, and safety. So each week we will meet and you can ask Barry any questions you have about planning and safety. My husband, Barry, is my partner in this organization. He is also a wilderness EMT. So he can help you save your own life in the backcountry if something tragic happens and help you prepare for the hikes near or far to your home. We also have a group for folks that are sober or sober curious. We have a group that is centered around spirituality, tarot card readings, moon rituals, water crystals. We'll get into some of that later. And then we also have a group for folks that are Black, Indigenous, and people of color, led by our Director of Social Responsibility, Gabachia. So weekly Summit Circle gatherings. We also host monthly Summit Circle workshops. So this month, our theme is Grateful for Change. Next month in February, our theme is Self-Love is Community Love, et cetera, et cetera. So throughout the year, we will host a workshop that is tailored to that theme, bringing together the community once a month. And you also have access to the monthly Blazer on Trail to Self-Love workshops. So like I said, we offer that as a 12-week program, an on-demand program, and now monthly as workshops as well. And your annual membership gets you into those. So each month, if you've already taken the program, it's a great refresher. If you haven't, it's a nice slow way to dive in instead of going head first in the deep end on a 12-week intensive program. You can do this monthly. And each week we introduce, or each month in the monthly program, we introduce a new healing activity that helps you get out of your head and back in your body. We introduce hiking as a mindfulness activity and give you a thought to think about while you're on the trail. And we have meditations. We have all kinds of cool resources in the community for that program. So that's included as well. Plus a one-year membership to All Trails Pro, which with All Trails Pro, you can download the maps to look at those and stay on track without service. They have off-route notifications. You can see keep your friends and family informed with their lifeline functionality. They have real-time map overlays for like weather, cell coverage, what kind of land you're on, like BLM, Forest Service, State Park, whatever. And also 1% of every subscription to All Trails goes back to the planet. And finally, with your annual membership, you also get your Let Your Light Shine care package, which will set you up for personal growth and self-care success with a Hiking My Feelings aromatherapy candle, this sweet hat, this awesome water bottle, and a holographic sticker, and our Hiking My Feelings trail journal. So that's the Summit Circle. That is the annual membership, which you can pay $333 a year or raise $500 within the Take a Hike Diabetes Million Mile Challenge. We also offer monthly membership for that. Our Manzanita plan is $11 a month. Manzanita is inspired by the Reggae Ranch. We have Manzanita everywhere. And our favorite little jam spot on the top of the mountain is in the Manzanita Grove. So that's where we Campfire VIPs and those weekly affinity group meetings. That's at the $11 monthly membership. And for $33 a month, we're calling that our Redwood package. And that one gets you into the VIPs, the Summit Circle affinity groups, also access to the Summit Circle monthly workshops and the Blaze Your Own Trail monthly workshops. Doors open on February 1st. So if you're interested in joining the Summit Circle, it is open to anybody who cares about the outdoors, anybody that's interested in asking big questions of themselves and the world around us, and generally just wants to make the world a better place. This is where we gather. You're more than welcome to join. Doors open February 1st, and you can go to hikingmyfeelings.org to sign up to get more information when we open registration. So that was a lot, but I'm excited. Let's talk to our first guest. Danny Reyes Acosta is a legend. I'm not going to lie. She's pretty badass. And so, Danny, come on down. I'm going to do a quick intro and then we'll jump right into it. So Danny is a freelance brand inclusive advocate and athlete, redefining who plays outside and how we build community with others on this planet. Originally from Playa del Rey, California, she has traveled through Argentina, Chile, Mexico, Peru, Andorra, Canada, and the USA, building her craft as a splitboard mountaineer, plus climber, surfer, and runner since 2014 when she graduated from corporate life with a one-way ticket to South America. We're going to need to talk about that. Her values embrace diversity, build resilience, and cultivate community show up in her work re-examining everyday recreation, social responsibility, and care for the commons. As a creative, she explores regenerative economies in the American West, links between heritage and identity, and the interdependence in the Anthropocene. I pronounce words by reading them out loud. I might have butchered that. In all of her work, she seeks to find the limit of her possible, and her goal is to inspire individual action and collective communion through self-care and self-determination found in the outdoors. Danny Dang, like you... sound a total rock star. I know you are a total. That bio does you great service, ma'am. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry. It's one thing, I think, when the bio is in a PowerPoint deck or on a website, and then you kind of like massage it a little bit and share it with someone such as yourself, and it sort of sounds self-aggrandizing, but I mean, it's, these are the things that I'm working on. So
you sound like a total badass on paper. And I think you're having the same reaction that I had when I had a really good bio written. And Melanie, my friend Melanie, her husband is the lead singer of a band named Pepper. I was on their podcast and she was the first person to read it out loud. And I was sitting like in the room as she did it. And I was like, oh my God, like I cried. And I don't know if that makes me a narcissist, but I think it's like, it's really nice to come home to yourself and be like, yeah, I've been working my butt off and it does sound good on paper. So congratulations. You are a legend.
Thank you.
Own it.
Yeah, it's really, yeah. Thank you for reading the bio. I put a lot of work into it, but I think more than that, put a lot of work into just the work of showing up.
Yes.
So,
So I mean, aside from this awesome bio, who are you and what's your connection to the outdoors?
Ah, well, that's a great question. I mean, I am fundamentally, I think, a person that is just trying to be, right? I think what I saw in 2020 and through many experiences before this, were that I want to exist in this life, but I think so much more than that, I want to survive, I want to thrive, and I want to become, right, or unpeel the layers, and ultimately the outdoors is a tool for doing that, and a place to coexist with the environment, flora and fauna around me, and fundamentally it's just it's a place to be, no matter what being looks like, whether it's being sad, being happy, being strong, being a badass. It's sometimes it's just a place to be sitting on my butt.
So for folks that don't know, what is splitboarding and how did you get into that?
Okay, this is a great question, and this is actually why I have this background. So splitboarding is backcountry snowboarding that does not require the use of motorized tools like a helicopter or a snowmobile or a big ski cat. So splitboarding is 100% human powered mountain motion using a snowboard that splits in half. So yeah, it's quite wild. I have on my to-dos this season to create kind of a little what is splitboarding in 101. So stay tuned. That will come out when we get more snow. but yeah, fundamentally, I got into it because a few years ago, I was living in Portland, Oregon, and I was skiing at a resort called Mount Hood Meadows all the time. And there were these things called backcountry gates, which I don't know. Have you ever skied?
No, ma'am. I grew up in Kansas where there were no mountains, and I have like hiked in snow twice. So it is on my list of things to do for sure.
Well, I'm going to come and chase you down.
Yes. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Never. I will tempt you with the fact that there will be snacks and there will also be sweat. So just...
two of my favorite things, I'm in. Say no more.
Well, stinky socks too, but whatever. So I got into it because I was skiing at a resort, which, you know, typically it's not so typical anymore, but typically use chairlifts to take you to the top of a mountain and then you ski down or snowboard down. And the perimeter of these resorts they're called gates. They're not like metal gates. They're delineations typically with rope or something like that that ski patrol sets up. And so there were gates set up that allowed you to see, you can pass through the gates to go off in many places to go beyond the gates and into backcountry. And so at Mount Hood Meadows, there were several gates where I would always see, I'm like, what is that over there? And I would look outside, like look beyond the gates. And I know that you can get over there with the proper gear and having a partner. And so I was kind of like always in this place of like, I want to go over there, but I don't know how. And I don't have anyone to go with me. and so when I quit, well, I shouldn't say quit. When I graduated from working in corporate America and took that one-way ticket, part of my whole idea was to just, I think, kind of reinvent. Like, well, it was actually at the time, it wasn't like, let me reinvent my life, because that would be way too much foresight. I just knew that things were needed to be changed. And so, and the process of changing or molting, as it were, I wanted to become a backcountry skier. And so I just went about the business of acquiring skills and education and building relationships that would empower me to go into these spaces. And so now I quite like going into these high mountain spaces, and my goal is to just be able to leverage all of these mountain travel skills, like whether it's trail running or hiking, also maybe rock climbing and ice climbing, and then skiing, to go basically wherever I want. This is this is what I would like to do, because when the zombies come, they're not going there.
That's right. Nobody, no zombies going to go out into the backcountry. I think all the people that are really scary right now have no interest in split boarding. So that sounds like a super safe and super rad plan for a zombie apocalypse, aka what happened on Wednesday. So,
oh, I know.
Yes. So, that's how, I got so how did life change for you in 20?
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Say that again.
I said, that's how I got into it. Just curiosity.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good way to get into things. And I think a lot of adults neglect their sense of curiosity, or we get it beaten out of us as children. Hopefully not literally, but some people literally. So how did life change for you in 2020? Like, what were you looking forward to at the end of 2019? What was your trajectory like? And then how did that change for you last year?
Yeah, that's a great, what a question. You know, I had some goals around, very clearly defined goals around my athlete objectives in the mountains, around the type of work I'd be doing, whether that's writing and workshops. And fundamentally, you know, I think a couple things changed. First, I broke my back. So that was exciting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did that happen?
I was doing something that really, I think, I was driving a snowmobile that I wasn't aware of its mechanical challenges. It had like a sticky throttle. So it stuck and I rocketed into a tree and got flipped. And yeah, I was really very lucky.
Well, I'm glad that was not something that took you off this planet and that I get to talk to you today.
Yeah, it's shocking. I mean, honestly, like that experience, I didn't go to the hospital because of COVID, and I was afraid of being publicly shamed because social norms were shifting on the daily around backcountry skiing. And like, I didn't hurt myself skiing. I hurt myself doing something that, you know, decidedly wasn't skiing, but also I didn't have the competence to properly mitigate hazard. And so, yeah, I got really lucky. It also made me realize that our healthcare system is totally screwed, because one of my other motivators was that I wasn't sure if I had insurance. I can't afford like a huge like MRI bill. So that was one big piece, and that kind of like really took me out, and I think really showed me who's willing to show up in my life to support me at the time, which is challenging because at the time, I mean, I was living in a van and traveling through, or based in the Tetons, but it was really interesting to see how like a couple of my friends showed up, and I appreciate the Sophias eternally, which if you ever go to my Instagram feed, you'll be like, oh, I know what she's talking about, those ladies named Sophia. I think part of it was just seeing who's willing to show up. And like at the time, I was like, well, there's this pandemic, and like there's all this like really just messed up stuff. There's like murder happening in the streets of Black and Brown and Indigenous people, and like, what am I doing? And I was like, I need to start doing something. And then I broke my back, and I started to really learn about stillness and learning to sit with quite literally pain, and thinking about like just being like, just it was quite the mind game. And so I couldn't move forward with any of the things I wanted to do or any of the things I wanted to give back, and so I kind of had this like very pent up energy and was just trying to channel that in healthy ways, and sometimes not so healthy ways. Like I definitely drank some wine. flashing forward, I think, to the fall and the winter, what that has become is, as I'm now in a place with my partner, and I are inhabiting a place in like very remote Colorado, where we we already had kind of a plot of land and homestead, but now I have a house, and now I'm, I think, like in this place where I don't have physical community around me a lot. And same thing as before when I broke my back. And I am quite often very remote and alone in the outdoors, even just working in a silo. And so I'm sitting with that stillness and thinking about like, how do I channel the creativity and the ideas from before into work? And so that is what you're seeing now, like really just all the things unfolding. And we've got a film project in the works. We've got like a couple of workshops in the works. I get to sit here and talk to you today. I guess the answer is like,
so
really uncomfortable and then like sitting with it and then doing something about it.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's kind of like, it's funny when our bodies are like, and obviously your body wasn't like, hey, I'm going to snap my back in half, but it's nice when, I don't want to even say nice, that's not the right word. It's interesting when the universe, God, unicorns, whatever you believe in, throws something like that in our path and it's like, hey, try this for a second. Sit with it, get comfortable with pain, think about what stillness is. So prior to breaking your back, was stillness something that you practiced regularly or were you always on the move?
I think I'd been working on it. You know, I'd already been meditating, I think on the daily. And a lot of times I've been able to access stillness and calm through activity, right? Something like going for a run or like that. I don't say vacuuming because I didn't have a house. I don't know, doing some sort of mundane task. But I think it was a lot more difficult to kind of like sit and be in my body. That was definitely like the biggest challenge of like being in this body. And I didn't have painkillers. It didn't have, you know, like nothing. It was quite the mental challenge. To not lose my mind in this apartment in like rural Idaho, like unable to move.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. And so I guess kind of piggybacking off of that, were there lessons that you learned in 2020 that you're grateful for?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, one of them is just like with patience, everything comes around, right? Like things that are happening around us aren't things that we can necessarily control. The only thing that we can control is how we inhabit and exist in those spaces. One is just like really working on patience. Another, I think, is, transmuting pain and suffering into instructive, informative, and helpful solutions or approaches to the world. At the time, all of these things that I was seeing going on around me, things I was seeing happening in the outdoors, I just kind of like funneled, it becomes kind of like a funnel of energy. Like, I have to do something about this. So I'm trying to do that with my work.
Yeah. So let's talk about your work. What are you working on that you're really jazzed about? Like, you're a brand inclusivity strategist. You're an advocate. Like, what does that mean? And what are you working on right now that you're excited about?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. I mean, so around the election, I had the privilege of joining Protect Our Winners earlier this year as their first Latina splitboarder or snow athletes, which is like, I'm so excited about. So my work with Protect Our Winners really has to do with advocacy for climate, I say climate justice, not everybody in power says climate justice.
I love climate justice. That is a beautiful term. And for folks that might not be familiar, because there are a lot of terms around climate change, climate justice, like there's all kinds of terms around climate and environment. Like, what is climate justice for folks that aren't familiar? Let's start with that.
Great question. So if we step back, have you talked about intersectionality on your show?
Yes, but in the context of George Floyd and last year. So a lot of new listeners since then. So run with it. Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with climate justice and we can talk about intersectionality after. So climate justice looks at climate change within a socio-political context, meaning that it looks at the interrelation between political and political action and political goings on at the same time as what's happening with different with elements of society and social groups and social justice. So it basically says that climate change intrinsically affects certain groups of people more adversely than others, right?
Right.
And those lines are across socioeconomics as well as race and gender. So I'm sure I don't have to tell you that like the Black and brown people are much more adversely affected and poor
right.
people are much more adversely affected than climate change, right? But it also, anyway, so it really looks at like, how do we make these decisions to frame this issue rather than just like, let's all use a silver, like a metal straw or a reusable bag, to thinking about like, how do we vote for...
No, it's good, because like, those are good efforts and also not actual solutions to the problems that affect these communities.
Right.
Like,
right. I mean,
it's yes and. It's not either or. It's not like, don't go use a metal straw, but also yeah, like, sure. use a metal straw and let's vote for something that's going to change things for Black and brown communities.
Right, and vote for initiatives and vote for politicians that are going to show up for systemic societal improvement. Because if we just like don't vote and use reusable coffee cups, like that's not gonna do jack shit. So being real. So that's called virtue signaling. I learned that term again yesterday. Sorry, it's a personal joke. So my work around the election, and I think since I've moved, like joined with PAL, has really started to kind of look at that piece of like, how do we show up for our communities in the climate context? But, you know, my work, I think, as an advocate really has to do with breaking down barriers and opening doors for more people that want to be outside. And that's taking form at, well, one of my projects that's launching this actually at the end of this month, there are 4 spots left, is an ARRI 1 training. So it's an avalanche hazard training that I've paired with my coursework. So my coursework is around owning your narrative and telling your story, finding your source. And that is coupled with this like technical skill building things. And the idea is that when we are building super technical, like doing hard things, right? Like learning how to rescue people from avalanches, or how do we select, like, how would you go up this mountain, right? Like learning how to move through these spaces. A big part of that is knowing how to like listen to your heart or your gut and advocating for what you think or want to see. Also part of managing group dynamics. So I'm pairing it with like technical skill building and guide ops to do this work. And so, yeah, our first launch is January 29th in Silverton. We have 2 scholarships, which is really exciting. They are partial right now, but I'm working on making them full scholarships.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the other big project, because it's ski season, so I'm not doing brand consulting work because it's ski season. I need to be skiing. The brand consulting work will come more like spring, summer. I guess I'm skiing a lot, and we're going to be making a film that features all women of color in the mountains.
Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Doing some cool stuff and building a community to appreciate some underappreciated things. We're on right now.
That's fantastic. So talk to me a little bit about like what topics are you really super passionate about right now that you wish more people could get on board with? And maybe it's just a matter of they're not connected to the community or they're not aware of these issues, but like, what's something that if you could like wave a magic wand that you really care about, that people would be like, oh my God, I care. How can I help?
I mean, I love this. I want that magic wand.
Yeah, if I find one, I'll pass it to you. You can borrow it.
Yeah, I would love to share it. That would be great. If I had this such a magic wand, I would love to see just I think people caring about community and less about individual action. And that doesn't mean to say that the individual isn't important, right? Because we all are important, but I hope that we can start to think about, like, what does it mean for a collective? And whether that means, like, my community in my neighborhood, a community of hikers or skiers or affinity group members, maybe coworkers. Like, what does it mean to, like, be in community and be in communion? Because we all have something in common, right? And it's all connected. And if we're not like thinking about our actions, whether it's how we talk to each other, how we treat each other, I think it's really easy to cause harm, intentionally and unintentionally.
Yeah. So in your bio, that was actually a question I was going to ask. You say, let's see here. You say her values: embrace adversity, build resilience, and cultivate community, show up in her work, re-examining everyday recreation, social responsibility, and care for the commons. Now, people listening are like, okay, commons, cool. What does that mean? It's also capitalized. So what does commons mean and why did you capitalize it?
Yeah. Oh man, we're going to do the history 101. Do you remember going through talking about the public commons in, oh gosh, eighth grade, high school? I can't remember.
Would it have been in social studies?
Yeah, it would have been.
I had the hottest social studies teacher, so I remember nothing except for how cute he was. So sorry, no, I don't.
So I first learned about the concept of the commons through the framework of the tragedy of the commons. But essentially the commons are resources that are all available for public, essentially like public use, whether that I want to say like consumption as well as, what's the opposite of consumption? Addition, right? So they are cultural and natural resources. It could be art, it could be water, it could be trees, it could be earth, it could be minerals. But all of these, the commons refers to the way that we share something with other people in a community to benefit a collective. The extension of that is that the tragedy of the commons has to do with how societies, particularly in post-industrial world context, you should know that I have a political science and economics background, like, or at least, I mean, whatever, that was my undergrad. So I'm a nerd. But the idea is the tragedy of the commons is that some person or some organization always is going to extract too much, and then the commons become, they don't operate in common or public interest, and instead they're operating out of self-interest and individual action motivated through individual behaviors rather than caring for something beyond their own personal selfish needs.
So like all of the things that are happening in capitalist crazy ass America, cool.
It's hard to be anti-capitalist in the capitalist world.
It really is. You get some funny looks, I tell you what. I'm like, so what is money? Paper? Okay, cool. Neat. That's fun. We keep it safe in a box? Awesome. We're so weird and hoarding. It's great.
It's kind of weird. Like, give it away to everybody.
Yeah, seriously. Make it rain. Pieces of paper.
the commons. So this is like just a super simple idea of, again, going back to community, of about thinking more about the collective and less about like the extraction of your own profit, pleasure, happiness, whatever, and thinking about like, how do we do things together? Because we are better together. And it's so much more fun to do things with other people than without them, in my opinion, says the person that's sort of a hermit.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, well, I think if there's one thing that we've learned in 2020 is that like really anything is possible, and community can be defined in a bajillion different ways, especially finding connection. Like if it weren't for this little virtual campfire thing we got going on here, I would have been the saddest panda last year. But this was a cliff. I was going to say a cliff. It's not a cliff. It was a springboard, diving board, something like that. Yeah. For a lot of connection. And I'm always surprised every single time. And you'll see at the end of this, when we do our group gratitude circle, I am constantly just amazed by how much community and connection can be facilitated in a virtual environment with the right place and people committed to the right container. Anything is possible. Like this community just blows my mind. So, yeah.
I remember when you launched it and
So you want people.
I was just supporting you.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's great. I think what you're doing is wonderful.
Oh, well, no, really, please continue to do that. I'm listening.
Oh, I forgot. I will continue. I'm going to get on my soapbox about how great I think you are, but I have to do it when I can't do it on command.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I'll set it up so it seems organic then. So you've got some really cool stuff going on. You wish that people cared about community. What is one way that you are facilitating or creating community in your work?
That's great. Well, I think tangible community is going to be the Equanimity Outdoors community that we're launching. For people that are working on building their technical skill sets at the same time as facilitating their personal growth. And so that will look like obviously our in-person training sessions and the community that we have there. And then moving beyond that, we'll have a Facebook group. You know, I think our kind of like public facing things are the film that we're creating is going to be benefiting Latino Outdoors, which is an amazing nationwide organization.
Yes. Shout out Latino Outdoors.
Yeah, that gets Latinx people outside and introduces them to new experiences or just is a great community. Another piece is, I hope that my like Instagram page is sort of a community. I feel like those people are my family. I don't know. Maybe that's thinking too much of it, but you know, a lot of those people I engage with like quite regularly.
No, I don't think so. I think I'd like to give you a shout out there on that. I really do think that yours is, and there are some that are very clearly not, and it's very much about the person running the account, but I love everything you're doing and how you use your platform and your voice. So okay, well, I'll just say that
Let's
for here.
Let's take it back, because I think if we look at community, like this organization that you've created is, I mean, first it's everywhere, which is wonderful, right? Like you were maybe doing in person at the very beginning. You're having these, I've just been seeing your posts like on the Facebook. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm not 22. And I think like Facebook and Instagram, and it's been kind of this thing that as I see other people engaging it, I'm like, hi, I'm just over here, but I appreciate you. And I would love to one day be a part, because I see how everybody engages and it's just beautiful, right? And the story that you're sharing isn't your own all the time. It's oftentimes other people's stories. And there's just this beautiful kind of interwoven texture of people coming in to share who they are and what they're doing at the same time as, I don't know. It's like very much a circular experience than like a, like you noted, like some Instagram pages or other communities are just like, here's what I'm doing all the time. That's not what the noise
sounds. Yeah, well, and thank you for that. I appreciate that recognition, especially from you, because I admire the work that you do and how you show up, especially in the outdoors community, but also just as a woman, as a person of color, as all the things, as a split boarder, which I didn't know what that was prior to meeting you, which sounds ridiculously awesome. Also, sidebar, does the board ever fold in half when you don't want it to? Because that sounds kind of terrifying.
Shockingly, that has not happened yet. Knock on wood. No, there are clips. There are multiple metal clips along the board and at the ends. And most important, the two pieces that like split into the skis when you put it together, they are bound by the bindings.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So like literally the binding like holds it together, and then your boots on top of that. So unless your boot folds in half, like you're not.
Which that would be. really painful and strange if it did. Wow. So you've got this avalanche hazard training and personal growth program. So where can people find out about that? You said you have 4 spots left.
Yeah.
Where can people sign up for that and learn more?
Yeah. Can I drop a link in?
Yeah, of course. And then we release this as a podcast too. So if you want to like talk it out loud for people that are listening tomorrow and in the future.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the URL is just bit.ly. So that's bit.ly/ equanimity outdoors with the words capitalized. So that's EQUANIMITY outdoors. And both that's capital E, capital O.
Perfect. Awesome. And where can people stay in touch with you and follow your journey and learn more about how awesome you are?
On Instagram, I am not lost, just discovering. And my website's DannyReyesAcosta.com, just like my name over there, wherever you're looking.
Perfect.
And yeah, I'm like shooting email. Usually pretty responsive on DMs. Sometimes it takes a couple of days, especially if I'm out and about. But I'm trying to show up and trying to be here. And if opportunities like this are just, I think, ways for us to bring the right people together. So thank you.
Thank
everybody
you.
Else in the audience who's showing up. Like, this is amazing.
Just wait till they put on their cameras. We got some of the most amazing humans in this Zoom. It's nuts. Every single week, I'm just like, I love you. Please be my friend. And I think that's the thing that I like about you. And I appreciate you saying about your Instagram community, because you're like, I think all these people are my friends. Like, legit, I didn't start hiking my feelings to like have people like blindly follow this organization. Like, I call our community the Hiking My Feelings family. One, it's gender neutral. Two, it's my family because these are the people that I choose. I don't choose them. They find us, but legit, like, I want to be friends with everybody that follows us on Instagram, that comes to these Zoom meetings, that enrolls in our program. I'm not like, hi, I'm the leader and I'm holier than thou. I'm like, so I'm in the shit with you. Can we be buddies? Like, I think that's the future for me. That's the future I see for this community, and also the future that I hope to see for other communities. Cause I think, to your point about community and communion, like, we need to get back to that. And there are some really beautiful ways to facilitate that virtually with people from all over the world. And also, ultimately, what we want to build is our wellness center where we can actually live that way. So everybody has a role. We grow our own food. We have a physician on staff to like merge Eastern and Western medicine. And like, I just want the whole thing to be like, it's a big hippie commune. And also, this is where people can come and do the programs that we've been facilitating virtually, in person, in the wilderness, and like really step into the healing power of nature. So I am with you 100%. And anything we can do to support and amplify the work you're doing, count us in, send me things, and I will blow it up as much as I can.
And vice versa. And also, like, please come to my commune this summer.
Yes. All right.
It's only a couple people. I'm just joking.
That's fine. We're like building something in the mountains right now. So when we'll just like swap seas and it'll be great.
I like it. Oh, how
yay. Cool. Well, Danny, thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your light and your story with us. It's great to connect in person, and I didn't get to chat with you face to face before this, but Gabacho was totally right. You are a total rock star and just an absolute legend. So thank you for joining us. It was absolutely wonderful chatting with you today.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Yes, of course. All right, cool, perfect. So in a little bit, I'm going to introduce Nathan from Ayaterra. But before we do that, I have one more thing that I want to share with you guys, because this is really cool. It's cool for us, but also it's just cool if you're looking to connect with some different organizations that are doing great work in the outdoors. So Outdoor Retailer is the biggest trade show for the outdoor industry. It's where all of the outdoor brands and organizations come together. It's a lot of like, it is what it sounds like, it's Outdoor Retailer. So it's a lot of retail oriented stuff, but like North Face, REI, Salomon, Merrill, like all the brands that you've ever heard of in the outdoors, everybody that makes your stuff shows up at this. And they have a magazine called Outdoor. We were fortunate enough to be selected as one of the outdoor activists and organizations to follow in 2021. And this is a series of just legendary organizations and humans. So I will post some information about this in the show notes, but I want to give a quick shout out to the other folks and organizations that were nominated for this recognition. For an organization like ours that is tiny in comparison to some of the organizations that exist in the outdoor space, we're new. We don't have a huge following yet, and we are small but mighty. So to receive this kind of recognition is a really cool opportunity for us to get our mission and our work in front of the people that have deep pockets that are looking to make a better world in the outdoors, make the outdoors more inclusive, make the outdoors more accessible, and improve access to the healing power of nature for a bunch of different communities. So first of all, thank you to Amelia for featuring us. Thank you to my friend Emily Hopshin, who nominated us. And a quick shout out to other organizations that are included in this list: the Right to Racial Justice, the Winter Wildlands Alliance, She Moves Mountains, Military Wild, HBCUs Outside, that's Historically Black Colleges and Universities Outside, Climate Neutral, Intersectional Environmentalist, and then some individuals that are activists who were also nominated. Recognized Alex Showerman, Jeff Jenkins, Karen Ramos, Roy Tuscany, Isabel Rodriguez, Vasu Ohira, and Quana Chasing Horse. So we'll post some information with a link to the digital version of the magazine that you can take a look at and read. And also, it's just a really cool way to get connected with what's going on in the world of the people that make the equipment and the efforts that they're making to make their equipment more sustainable, especially on the fashion side. Where are they getting their materials from? How are they treating their employees? All of the things that come with caring for the environment, caring for the planet, and caring for the outdoors. So I'll post some information for you to take a look at that, but thank you to Outdoor Retailer and the outdoors community for that recognition. Our Take a Hike Diabetes campaign is an excellent opportunity to get involved and throw some good effort out in the world to make the world a better place for people living with diabetes. There are more than 122 million of us here in this country, and someone is diagnosed with diabetes every 23 seconds. So we're not going anywhere, and there's a lot of us, and we'd love to have your support as a community. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Mr. Nathan Feinstein. He is from one of my favorite bands, Ayaterra, and I'm just really psyched to have him here. When it comes to gratitude, intention, and the power of embracing change, I would say that Nathan has experienced it all. He is a singer, songwriter, producer, and frontman of Los Angeles-based reggae band Ayaterra. When not on tour, Nathan also runs Crucial Crystals and hosts an interactive songwriting live stream on YouTube called Songs from Scratch. Nathan, welcome to the show. Come on down, mister. We're going to chat about crystals. We're going to chat about singing. He's going to share some tunes with us. If we were around a campfire, this would be like jamming by the fire. So thanks for being here, Nathan. How are you?
Heck yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah, this is a campfire in 2021, I suppose.
Yeah, we're doing what we can. So tell us a little bit about, like, who are you and what do you stand for? And like, what's your jam right now?
Yeah. I am Nathan. My main gig, I suppose, or my main mission in this life is definitely singer, songwriter, brother, band member of Ayaterra. That's been the mission for the last handful of years. And music, it's always been music since I was 12. The focus has just been to make music, you know? And so that obviously takes many different forms as the years unfold, but I would say that's, you know, you said, what's my jam? And that's probably it. Last year with the shutdown and everything, I started a YouTube show, so you can check it out every Friday night. Like you said, it's called Songs from Scratch. And I make Crucial Crystals, which I thank you for your support. And I'm stoked if anyone here has a Crucial Crystal. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So for anybody listening and for the folks in the audience, if you've purchased one of our care packages or if you made a donation to the virtual campfire last year, this is the dude that wrapped the crystal. I've got one of mine. Y'all? I've got one of mine. It's my little fluorite guy. Keeps me safe, makes me happy. So how did you get into the crystal thing? I saw that you recently gave away one of your pendants that you've worn to a lot of iconic shows. Yeah. How'd you get into this and how do you use crystals in your life?
Honestly, I got into it really casually. I always was kind of just drawn to them and kind of just, you know, attracted to them. Around the time that we started Ayaterra, you know, I had never really been into any kind of spirituality or any kind of like stuff like that until around the time the band started and the mission of kind of getting into reggae music and, you know, we were kids. I was like 20, 21 years old, and started meditating and started kind of exploring the different ideas and different like lifestyle choices that were out there that I had never really. I come from a heavy metal background. So growing up, there was never any discussion or any talk of anything like that. So when I fell in love with reggae music, you know, the two things are pretty intertwined, spirituality, meditation, and the music itself. So I started, you know, reading like self, like, I don't know if self-help books is the right thing, but you know, things like that, digging into like spiritual aspects. And I found myself going to a lot of these kind of stores that sold crystals and stuff like that. And they always kind of just stuck out to me. I started working with them. I started wrapping them, for friends, and eventually started selling them because people were like, dude, these are really awesome. Like, I want to get one. I'm like, I don't really have enough to, and they're just like, you should start selling them. So, okay. So I started and never thought it would have grown into what it's become now, you know. But yeah, it's just organic for sure. And to use in my daily life, I mean, I wear Crucial crystals and I love having them in the studio. They're always a cool vibe hanging out in here, you know.
I started, so my aunt was really into, she works for the Kansas Water District, as like, she does like some geology type stuff. And so I got into crystals as a kid, and I had like my rock box. And I thought they were so cool. And then I got to be too cool for rocks, as one does when she grows up and wants to be cool with boys who don't like rocks. And then I had a similar journey back into it. I had signed up for a women's entrepreneurship course that was actually a personal growth course designed to teach you how to start a business, which kind of rocked my world because I didn't know what I was signing up for. But in the welcome package was this itty bitty piece of citrine. And she was like, this is for abundance. And I was like, I remember rocks, like, this is cool. And then I went down the rabbit hole, and that's when you say you like having them in the studio. When we were still in a house before we moved into our van, my office was just, I was surrounded by them, and I had like a shelf with a bunch on them. I had them all over my desk, and now I just have them like in little hidey holes around the van. They're not on display because obviously like we move and stuff blows around, but it's just been really cool to get back into it and to share this with our community too, who is a little bit new to it. So what's your favorite, like, do you have a favorite with you or one close by that you want to talk a little bit about?
I wouldn't say I have a favorite. I really like obsidian, but I don't have a piece of my own. I like working with it every time. And I always am like, I got to save a piece for myself. And I never do. yeah, honestly, the amethyst that I was doing the giveaway for was one that it's been like my go-to for, I don't know, like 2 or 3 years. And honestly, it was the only one that I ever wore for the last 3 years. I don't have like a ton that I interchange out. It was just the one. So anytime I wanted to like, you know, throw in a crystal, that was the guy. So that's why it was like at all of those shows. And then I kind of realized like, man, I should probably do a giveaway. And I was like, whoa, this one has actually been with me through so much shit, you know? So that was like the discovery there. But I really gravitate towards obsidian, especially now. I think it's just a really cool stone. They call it black glass. I do have a kind of cool one right here. I was showing you earlier the florets I had, but this is one from our music video, Livocation. That's on YouTube. You guys can search it. But yeah, this one's just been with me. It's kind of crazy how it happened. We borrowed crystals from a friend of a friend, because we just like, I think we posted on Facebook when we shot that video, we're like, hey, we need like huge crystals. And if you guys know, go to a crystal shop, some of them can be like $3,000 for like an amethyst that's like this big. They're pretty insane. So yeah, we just posted on Facebook, a friend of a friend, like, let us borrow them. And that ended up in my backpack. And so I called my buddy. I'm like, dude, can you tell your friend that like I still have a huge chunk of quartz? And he goes, yeah, she said just keep it. Like, and so I don't know, it's always been a cool one. And I guess it was kind of gifted to me in that way too, which is it's been a cool thing for sure.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you come from a heavy metal background. I did a little Googling on the Seventh Plague. That's quite a different sound and set of lyrics, and I'll say intention, but I'm not sure that there was a lot there. At least not as much as what feels like what I connect with Thyatira. So how did, like, tell me about that journey from heavy metal into what you're doing now? Because especially with the picture that you sent through for this episode, I was telling Barry when I got it, Barry's my husband, I was like, this looks like, if I had to pick a picture that like captures your energy, that's it. Which is also funny because it's still like horns up. And if I didn't know you, If you didn't have your hair and if you didn't sing the songs you sing, I'd be like, okay, he's got neck tattoos and he has horns up. Like, he's pretty metal. What was that journey like?
Okay, it should be noted, the Seventh Plague was like the old band. That was like the kid. I think we started Seventh Plague when I was like 13 or 14 and it lasted like 5 years. After that, we matured a little bit and we turned into Aurora, which is where kind of like the stage name comes from. It literally, there was no thought into it at all. It's just back in those days where I grew up in Las Vegas. And I think I still see it everywhere, but with like heavy bands, you have to put your band name in like all your social media handles. Like you see all the band members. So it'd be like, if we were in that scene now with Ayaterra, my name would be like Aya Nathan or Nathan Aya, and everyone in the band would like, that's like, you have to do it. It's like being in a biker gang. So like Aurora Nathan was just always my shit for so long. And then I just never changed it. But yeah, so Seventh Plague was the old thing. And then it was Aurora. And then it was Ayaterra. So the progression was just natural too. I mean, I had always loved reggae. I've always loved all music. You know, I think the first music I listened to was like punk and metal. And then really discovered classic rock and in high school and stuff, and found reggae in high school. I was a big stoner in high school, so that's why it was like the stoner metal stuff and, you know, the reggae and classic rock and hippie stuff. Like, favorite band of all time is always Pink Floyd. So it's always been intertwined, you know. But it's kind of crazy, I guess, as a musician. It's like you pick a genre and then you're just in it, you know what I mean? And oftentimes bands like us who start when they're young, it's like you just gravitate towards a certain thing and then that becomes your life, because you're so young at the time, you don't really think that that's going to be like your life course. Like when I started a reggae band, I was about 20 or 21, and I'm not thinking like, dude, this is going to be like my life's work, you know what I mean? But it becomes that, and so you find a different meaning in it, and you have to live that purpose and things like that, right? But it was really just always about the music and what we were listening to and what felt fun. I left Vegas when I was 20 years old because the metal band kind of fizzled out. You know, guys started to get older. We started it as kids. And then once we all start reaching our 20s, different guys are like getting in serious relationships or getting better jobs. And it was kind of a kid band, you know what I mean? And so we became adults. I started realizing that like that wasn't going to do anything for me. So I left and I went to LA. I started to go to school, and that's when I met Nick Laportio, our bass player. I saw an Iration concert, and I had always been into reggae, but that was kind of like the aha moment where I was like, that's what I should be doing. I should be those guys on stage, you know, like that could be my calling, that style of music. So, and that's what started it.
That's really cool. So do you have a song that you want to share in the name of intention and that shift to, it's a new year, new energy, like what our month for change. So we end with our group gratitude circle, but is there anything in the spirit of change that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, totally. You want me to play? Is it time to play already?
Yeah, well, let's jam one and then we'll chat some more and then we can jam again.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, on the vibe of like change, I'm always kind of riding that wavelength. So a lot of my songs tend to be about that theme. If we would be doing this podcast in a few months, we'd have like a ton of new songs out, which I would love to play because there's so much about change on the new record. But stay tuned. They'll be available. I'm going to play an older one that's a little bit about change. This one's called Wash Away. Let me just switch the audio really quick. Check, check.
They say the good old days come and go, like somehow we're supposed to know. Cause when we live in it, it don't seem so. It's different, isn't it? Yeah. Life's too short to be alone. 1 minute you have it, the next it's gone. got to be ready for whatever comes. Such a trip, what a gift is yours as I step into the sun again. Come on and step into the sun. Wash away the rest of your life. It starts today, so come along. Give thanks for the memories. Everything is telling me life, it has just begun. Wash away the rest of your life. It starts today, so come along. Even when you don't see, better days are coming. You just got to hold on. So you remember back in the day, growing up just trying to find our way. Seems memories are so far away from where we are now. But we got to hold on strong as we trudging along. Friends, they have come and gone. And all the love from the past won't last forever. The memories more than enough as I step into the sun again. Come on and step into the sun. Wash away the rest of your life. It starts today, so come along. Give thanks for the memories. Everything is telling me life, it has just begun. Wash away the rest of your life. It starts today, so come along. Even when you don't see, better days are coming. You just got to hold on.
Yeah.
Yay. I love that song. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about writing that. Where were you? What was that for you when you wrote it? And has the meaning evolved for you at all since you released it?
Yeah. Wow. Good questions you got, Sydney. Let's see. That song when I wrote it, I don't know. It kind of all ties in together to the last question that you asked too. I mean, like, what was the journey between one genre to the next? Was there came a point like in Ayaterra's career where enough people would tell you like, hey man, I can tell you have like these guitar licks, like you played heavy music. That's my favorite thing about Ayaterra. And that song specifically, not in the version I just played because it was the acoustic version, but it, you know, the studio version has this guitar lick. And I think that was like me one of the first times really fully stepping in and just being like, you know what, man, I'm going to embrace this about like where I come from, this metal stuff, because it's part of me. And when we first started the reggae stuff, it was like, ah, let's just play reggae. But like that stuff would seep through in the music and you'd be like, yo, there's some heavy shit going on here. Right. So yeah, that one was like fully stepping into that sonically. That was the sound. And then as far as the lyrics, it was kind of just, you know, it's kind of exploring a theme that's always constant in my stuff, which is like, how it feels to be like growing up and like watching ourselves change and evolve and, you know, looking back on the past, reflecting, trying not to live in the past and creating a positive future, being hopeful about the future when things are tough, you know? The first time I ever played it live and kind of like one of the big reiterations of doing that song was, I had a dear friend of mine pass away. I went to Vegas to do this, like memorial show for her. And that was like the first time I played that tune. So I would say that the meaning of the song kind of has changed since its original conception, because it wasn't about that originally, but that was such a strong memory for me that that song kind of always reminds me of that, you know, in a really beautiful way, not in like a sad way.
Yeah, no. And I think that's one of the best things about music in general is just how it can set the sound, like, well, it sets a soundtrack obviously, but like can really cement a memory to where you can remember who you were with, where you were at, what you were wearing, what you can smell. Like for me, music like can take me back to an instant in a moment. And there's a bunch of Ayaterra songs that do that for me. So thank you for the music for one. But when it comes to the future and the past and 2020 and change and all that stuff, like what kind of stuff happened for you in 2020? You guys had a baller tour schedule set. Like, what lessons did you learn in 2020 that you're grateful for?
Oh man. I think the overall one is kind of just like, I don't know, to say it bluntly, just like, there's not shit we can do. Like, there's, you know, we're in control of ourselves, but we have to just be okay with the happenings around us, because shit is just crazy, you know? So it was really hard watching that tour go away. But at the same time, like, that was lessened, I guess, by watching the entire, like, there was just suffering at such a high level. And of course, watching every band let go of their tour schedules, like, whether it's the best tour of your career or it's just another tour, like, it's always, that's your livelihood, that's your life. So like, it was really strange. And I would say it would have probably been like, it would have probably been way harder and way darker if, for whatever weird reason, like, Ayaterra was the only one that had to like cancel the tour. But watching the whole world kind of be like, whoa, like, we can't tour, we can't do anything, there was this feeling of like, okay, at least we're all in this together, right? But that was a huge lesson for me. Like, there's not much we could do. I mean, we just have to try our best to get through every day, you know, take it slow, take it hour by hour, not get too wrapped up in ourselves and how, you know, things can just suck sometimes.
And taking it back to talking about the meaning of Wash Away for you, one part that really stuck out to me when you were talking was the stepping into, like, there's some like inklings of heavy metal in this like future you that is reggae. Like, do you have advice for anybody that's listening or watching that is like feeling this pull from who they used to be, and not that you have to necessarily let that go to step into whatever you could be, but like, what's your advice to somebody that's like feeling this push and pull, this tug of war between these two worlds that they're living in, and how to like confidently step into that next step or that next chapter?
I'll say I'm definitely still figuring that out myself. And I probably always will be to an extent, but take it slow, you know? A lot of the times, this was another lesson of 2020, was a lot of the times, like, the decisions that are at hand right now, the urgent ones, they seem like they can be live or die. And in reality, if we could step back from that, you know, it's going to be okay, you know? So I would say just take it slow. Not everything has to happen in the moment. Do what feels right. Do what feels natural. Try to just be true and authentic to yourself, and try to not piss anybody off in the process, you know?
Yeah. Take no shit, do no harm, right?
That's like the one I'm trying to live by.
Yeah, same. It's hard though. It's hard to hold yourself accountable, and it's hard to be a bigger person, and it's hard to be okay with being petty sometimes, because like, it is okay to feel the emotions that we're trained are not okay. So I think that's a big part of it too, at least for the community we're facilitating here, is like, a lot of the, like, my key phrase and everybody that's in any of our programs right now, it's like, the awareness is the work. Like, as we become aware of a situation that we could have handled better, or a way that we showed up or something, like, we can always just be aware of that and just sit with that awareness, versus like, oh, I'm aware and I got to fix. It's like, no, just like, yeah, just chill with it for a minute, you know? Like,
I can appreciate that a lot. I feel like that's been like my most recent lesson, you know, is like watching things change and be like, I have to act on this right now. When in reality, we do have to give a little bit of trust back to the universe and be like, you've got this. Like, my intention is to just be peaceful throughout the process, you know, yeah. But easier said than done, right?
100%. So I remember you had recently released a song called Outer Space, and it sounded like this was a vulnerable song for you to write and to release. Could you talk to us a little bit about that and what that experience was like for you?
Yeah, for sure. That was like our only real release of 2020. And that song had kind of been kicking around for a while. I wrote it in the summer of, I guess, 2019 summer. We were off of a tour. We released an album that summer, so we didn't like do a heavy tour. We just went to Hawaii, which was really cool. But I think there was like a big chunk of off time in between happenings where I was just at home. And yeah, I don't know, just feeling down, you know, generally just kind of feeling not happy. And the music came before the lyrics. And I think the music had this kind of haunting and like, I don't know, I don't really know the word to describe it, but if you've heard the song, it's definitely almost like a haunting piano line, like a melancholy type thing. And so a lot of the times if a song starts with the music, the lyrics tend to follow the vibe of like what the music is. So I think I just stepped into that space and words started to come to mind of just like, whoa, I should tell this as like a story. And then it was like a crazy thing too, because I wrote the tune in like a night and I had it done and I was like driving. I remember I went to a friend's studio session the next day and I had it in my car. And it was such a weird jump for me because the song is like a storytelling song, which I don't typically do. You know, it's like certain artists, they're like every song is a story, there's characters, there's like a plot. I don't really do that, but with this song, there kind of is, and each verse is like serving a purpose. And I remember like going to my buddy's studio session and they were just playing like some reggae tunes and I was like, oh, sick. And then I got in the car and I put on Outer Space and I was like, this is so weird. Like, I don't know if this song is like too out of the box, you know? And I asking my band a bunch, do you guys think this is too out of the box? Everyone's like, no, it's cool, whatever, you know? And then I sent it to Stick Figure and was like, dude, like, what do you think about this? And he was just really pumped on it. And I don't remember if I asked him or if he was just like, hey, let me produce this. But he ended up producing it, which in turn let like all the Ineffable management guys, they started hearing it. And then like there was just this buzz around it, like, yo, this is a really great song. I can't wait to get this out. And so that kind of gave me the confidence. But at first it was like, what am I doing? This is such a stretch for me, you know? And you'll hear the new Ayaterra album. There's not a lot. There's a couple songs on there that are kind of jumping into that next realm of experimenting with genre, you know, as we're a reggae band and we most likely always will be, right? But there's a couple times, like, I love music and I love stepping into different genres. So Outer Space to me was a really cool chance to do that and just play with genre and play with sound and put a real piano, like a strumming piano on it, and go into the Pink Floyd David Gilmour guitar solo and just do so with confidence, you know.
Yeah, I really dig it. It's it was a departure from what I'm used to hearing, and like a really pleasant one. I was like, oh, and also the lyrics, I was like, this is how I feel all the time.
It was kind of like destined to be a 2020 song, because like I said, I wrote it in summer 2019 when like things were not that bad. I could have stayed right on in the summer of 2019, but then summer of 2020 was a different story. I was like, oh, I got to get out of here. Like. So it kind of, I don't know, it kind of came at the perfect time, right? And it was funny because when everything started happening and shutdowns started happening and the world was crazy, like you started seeing a lot of imagery about that exact concept of like, yo, like when are we going to Mars and like stuff like that. And I was just like, it's weird, man. I don't know, you know, that's not like the new sound of Ayaterra, you know? I definitely, that's just not a thing. But I'm happy that we were able to release that to be like, we are capable of this as well, you know?
Yeah. And I think it shows depth in some different directions that you could go. So in the spirit of the new album in 2021, like what are some changes and some things that are coming up for you this year that you're really looking forward to?
Well, that exactly, you know, the new album, it's kind of hard to say with where we're at, like, you know, what the world is even going to be like in a couple months or towards the end of the year. I would love to get back to touring, but only if it's safe. You know, I'm not like one of those guys that's like pushing the frontier of like, let's just get out there. We should just go. Like, I'm definitely going to wait till I feel nice and comfortable to get back out there. Because for me, like, touring's hard enough, right? The last thing I want to do is be like sanitizing backstage with a mask and like not seeing people. Like, I just, if we're going to go out, I want it to be like a nice, healthy, everyone's stoked, we're all happy to be there kind of thing. But I'm, you know, I'm really excited for the new record and new music and, to just keep going. I'm excited to see where this, I mean, we worked really hard on this last record. So, it's going to be cool to see, you know, if it reaches some new people and we're really stepping into like our visual game a little bit more, some cool new content and things like that. With the shutdown and everything, we've had more time to actually focus on like, okay, it is about the music, but it should be like major package too, like drop some great music videos with it. And usually we're just so busy, you know, we're touring 8 months out of the year. So we find time to record and then the album comes out. And then by the time we're like, let's shoot music videos and things like that, it's always like the record's 2 years old and stuff. So having that time to really just like dot the I's and cross the T's on everything is really cool. And I think this is going to be our most developed record to date, probably.
I'm so excited. Do you guys have a release date for that yet?
No concrete date, just speculation, but there's going to be some cool announcements for sure soon. I can say like now's the time where like things will finally start rolling out, which is
nice,
you know.
So I know we had Josh from the Movement last week and he was talking about how they've been doing like he's recording vocals and, you know, the guys are all separate. They're all in different states and they're all recording their own things and then like blending it together. Were you guys able to get into a studio to record together? Or were you guys all recording separately?
Yeah, absolutely. We were going down to San Diego to Ian Young's. And it's been crazy because the whole year has been like in waves, you know? So the first time was like in June and we're like, all right, cool. But then by the last time, the final session was in December. COVID numbers were at a crazy high. We're like, all right, let's get tested and go down. So we definitely played it safe, but we were able to get into the studio. We've been doing this at home stuff for years. Our most recent two records, Sacred Sound and Coming to Light, were all done in our home studios. So we were kind of like built for the shutdown because we all have like a little setup. So we can send tracks and make an album like that, no problem. It's kind of ironic that the year that we get into the real studio is the year where there's a pandemic, but.
Right. And I think that's a cool transition into talking about songs from scratch. I tuned in for the episode with K-Bong, which I think was one of the first ones. Yeah. And I'd love for you to explain the concept for people that aren't familiar, but just as like a blanket statement, the coolest thing ever. Like, I think that's one of my favorite parts about living at the Reggae Ranch is Sue and Dustin are building this incredible community for artists to have a retreat and come out and work on new music and just kind of like play around with sound and do it in this beautiful environment in the middle of nowhere in the mountains. And this has been my first exposure to that side of things, is like seeing how a song is built. And we spent a ton of time with K-Bong this past year on the trails and stuff. And he was just always kind of jamming and like showing the progress of the music he's been working on. So tell us a little bit about what Songs from Scratch is and how that idea came about.
Yeah. So what it is a interactive songwriting live stream. Every Friday night, I broke it down into seasons because I wanted to take like a breather and figure out, okay, how do I make this even better? So it's in seasons, but when the seasons are active, it's every Friday night. I bring on a guest who's like in a band, either a singer or a songwriter in one of these, we're, you know, sticking to this reggae rock community. Bring on a guest, we hang out, catch up a little bit, and then we write a song using like the viewers, like the audience on YouTube, because it's live on YouTube, they're suggesting what the song's about and writing lyrics and things like that. And me and the guests kind of work our way through the song. And by the end of the episode, we have a full song front to back. The idea just came about because, I mean, I felt that, I mean, there's no one doing stuff like that, you know, online. And I'm just like, well, I have this cool space that I've created and I think that I would be able to do something like that. It was just a random idea. I was like, huh, that would be crazy. Like there's DJs that do, or like, I don't even know if DJ is the right term, but like electronic music people that'll like do all their looping and all this stuff. But like no one in this reggae world was like, how do we do this? And a lot of us are doing this at home production thing. So like, I felt it was a cool little pocket that I could get into. Ended up being super fun, you know, and it was just cool. Cause I started thinking before I even started the show, I was like, man, I've been blessed to like tour with a lot of really cool bands and make a lot of really cool friends that I think people would appreciate seeing them on the show, you know? So when it came time to like book the guests, I was like, oh, this is going to be magic. And so now we've got season two. It's going to be coming soon. Once again, not announced yet, but keep an eye out cause it'll be announced soon. But the schedule is badass and it's going to be a really cool season we got coming up.
Taylor, I love, and for folks that haven't been to one of the ones in the comments, so like the one with K-Bong in particular, it's so fun because there was something about, it was like the time in space one, something about constellations. Anyway, so like everybody's like rhyming in the comments. Yeah. And I was like, something, something constellations. And then you see everybody in the comments are like, yeah, say constellation, do constellation. And then like, and then you guys start singing on constellation and everybody loses their mind. It's just like, as a fan, it is a really cool experience to see one, your creative process, but two, to be able to participate in it in that way. So thanks for bringing that to us.
Yeah, I think it's so crazy because the concept was like this idea, right? And it was like a seed, like, I think we can do this. But then I've watched, like, it had its own plan before I brought it to life. And so I'm still just like letting it figure itself out. I was just like, hey, let's write a song like live using people's ideas. But then like it's taken a life of its own. And that's why I felt like after doing 12 episodes, I was like, holy crap, I need like to see what's going on here, because it was just going, you know? And I'm like, there's a lot of power here with the fans. Like, 'cause I see that from the fans, they get so excited, and I want to make it like, I want to be able to look at it from an outsider's perspective and make it the coolest interactive experience possible, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so are those tracks, they're on SoundCloud and on YouTube? Like, where can people find songs that you're writing from scratch?
Yeah, so we do a final listen through every episode at the very end. And then in the beginning, I was mixing them the day after. And then they would go up on SoundCloud. But I honestly still haven't even mixed the season finales one, because like, December was crazy for me. It was very busy, and my head was spinning, but I finally, like, that was like a big intention of like, okay, this has been a crazy ass year, it's time to relax. So I took a couple weeks to just like dial everything down, reanalyze what the plan is going to be for this year, all that stuff. And so yeah, they do go on SoundCloud. I just still have to mix the season finale one.
Awesome. Cool. Well, do you have another song that you'd like to share before we break for our group gratitude circle?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Cool.
All right, yeah. Because it's going to be group gratitude circle, this one is called Give Thanks. Well, if you're lost and alone, don't worry, 'cause you're already home. I know it's a long, long road, but we're ready to go. I found beauty in the balance in between our highs and lows. So as long as I can sing my song, then I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go for whatever gonna come my way. Yes, I just give thanks, all the struggles and the troubles and the sorrow, yes, give thanks, don't worry about tomorrow if you're living today, give thanks, yeah, it's all gonna be okay, we just give thanks, you know, we give thanks, yeah. I give thanks for this life that you've given me. My love is like an ocean and I got no worries. I'm sailing through the unknown on a forbidden sea. In the face, and I know
Life gets tough, never stop looking up. Give thanks for this life, my soul. For whatever gonna come my way. Yes, I just give thanks. Give thanks. And all the struggles and the troubles and the sorrow. Yes, give thanks. Give thanks. And don't worry about tomorrow. You're living today. Give thanks, you got to give thanks, yeah. It's all gonna be okay. We just give thanks, you know, we give thanks, yeah.
Yes. Oh, I love that song so much. Talk to me about where you were when you wrote that. I mean, I think the lyrics kind of speak for themselves and the perfect transition to our group Gratitude Circle. But before we do a little Q&A with the folks here on Zoom, I'd love to hear about just what was that like? Where were you? How did that go?
Yeah. Let me turn off this reverb. Sorry, apologize. That was the final song that was written for our album Sacred Sound. I just felt like that album needed something. It's so funny, you know, because most of that album was already written, and I literally was just like, I want to make another song to finish out this record. I feel like this record needs a good closing song, and so that's, you know, the final song on the album. But the studio version has these like pan flutes on it, and it has like some Eastern percussion and things like that. I was reading this book called Autobiography of a Yogi at the time by Paramahansa Yogananda, and I was kind of getting into that ideology for a bit. So that was like the main influence of a lot of the Eastern sounds that you hear on that song. And yeah, I don't know. Give thanks is a term that we've always said, like, instead of thank you, because kind of just getting into the reggae world, like everybody, like there's like this terminology that people use, you know, and I wrote it, I'm like 23 years old. Everyone's like, oh, give thanks, man. Give thanks. You know, I'm like, yo, like it's a powerful thing. So let me write a tune about it. And I remember, cause I was living with my mom at the time. I was like, you know, 22, 23, wrote it in her living room, recorded it in my living room. In her living room to this day. I mean, the version that's on the album was recorded there in her living room. And yeah, that's kind of the story of how that one came together. Different magical thing of how Scott got on it, but, shout out to Stick Figure. He's just been a cool dude from the jump. He had no reason to come on and sing that song with us. We weren't and doing anything crazy big. He was just a really nice, humble guy that was like, you know what? I love this song, man. You guys seem cool. Yeah, let's collab.
I think that's something that, I mean, like, I've never been as active within a community, and maybe that speaks to the genre itself. Like, prior to really like diving headfirst into this music, one, as part of my healing journey, because the music itself is calming and empowering, and the lyrics are intentional and positive for the most part. Before this, I was like, we went to Black Label shows, like Zach Sabbath, like Zach Wilde's my dude, John Five. Like, we were at these like heavy shows, and I never really connected with the community there. Like, we went to shows, we might see the same people because it's, you know, a local concert, but not like this genre. I mean, I am just so thankful for the relationships, like relationships, not just friendships, not concert friends, but actual life-changing relationships that have come as a result of this music and the fans of it. So I love that story, especially that you recorded it in your mom's house. That's amazing. Last week we had Christy Nelson, who is the executive director for the Network for Grateful Living. And we were talking all about gratitude. She wrote a book called Wake Up Grateful, The Transformative Practice of Taking Nothing for Granted. And I'm curious, because that song is so intentional and rooted in giving thanks, what is gratitude? What is the role of gratitude in your life, and how has that transformed your life, your practice, your music?
It's honestly a huge motivator in like everything I do. It's kind of like the biggest like combative that I use against anxiety is, you know, when things seem to be spiraling out of control, there's not much else you can do other than just try and look for the things that you are grateful for and, you know, say thank you for them. And, you know, like you said, try and be aware of the good things, you know?
Yeah. So does anybody in the Zoom have a question for Mr. Nathan? If you do, go ahead and pop on your camera and we'll take a couple questions and then we'll get into our group gratitude circle here. Man, thanks for being here.
Yeah. Rock. My pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's a long time coming.
Yeah, it is. And I'm glad that we're able to connect. It's been awesome just getting crystals and stuff and obviously going to shows. I miss shows, but nice to have you around our virtual campfire.
We had never actually spoken before, so nice to face today.
Yeah, absolutely. Ashley, what you got?
Quick question. Where can we get the crucial crystals?
I just do them through my social medias. So the best way is probably just on Instagram. Sydney has my handle. So there's probably a place where it's written out where you can just click it or something, or Facebook or something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Any other questions for Nathan? If not, we can go ahead and
start. I do.
Okay, hit it.
I'm a Zoom baby. There I am.
You're getting there. Hey, Lori. Nice to see you.
Yeah, I'm back home. I'm home. This is home now. Home.
Yay.
Back in Ashland. Hi, Nathan.
Hi.
Hey, I'm super stoked about hearing more about your musical influences. And here's a little fangirl question. So what's your favorite Pink Floyd song? And have you ever covered any songs with your bands? Pink Floyd songs.
We used to cover Breathe up until we stopped touring because COVID, but Breathe was like a transition. We did Breathe and then into On the Run, like the way that it is on Dark Side.
I've never seen you guys live, so I'll be looking for that. Instead of just looking for album cuts, I need to look into your live music so I can. But so Breathe never made it onto an album or a cover album?
Unfortunately, we've never actually recorded a cover. It's something that I always thought would be worth looking into. I don't really know how it all works with like copyrights and things like that, but I would love to like get together and actually do a real cover. I also too, just a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, my fiance bought me a new guitar and I'm in love with it and I wanted to test it out. So I wrote this like reggae version of Echoes, which is probably...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe my favorite Pink Floyd song, that or probably Goodbye Blue Sky.
Oh yeah, so that's so great. So if we ever get around a real campfire, you have to promise you'll play a Pink Floyd cover for me.
Totally, absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Awesome. All right, everybody, go ahead and pop on your cameras and we'll start our group gratitude circle. For folks that are new here, we always like to end with gratitude at our in-person events, at our virtual events, anytime that we can. Because I mean, Nathan already said it and I say it every week, when the world is getting spinny and things are feeling a little bit wild, it's really nice to be able to just think about something that you're grateful for. I find that when I start getting dark and twisty, the best thing I can do is find something to interrupt that thought pattern to help me avoid getting from really dark and really twisty. And gratitude is a great way to do that. So here in Hiking My Feelings, we are not afraid to talk about the hard stuff. So sometimes our conversations are difficult and they talk about taboo and complex topics. Sometimes we tell poop stories. So it's not always sad and dark and stormy, but when it is, we always like to bring it back to gratitude to end on a high note. So, Mr. Nathan, let's kick it off with you. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for health, and I'm thankful for music, and I'm thankful for my family.
Yes. Thank you. All good things. I am thankful for our lovely partners here at Beach Hut Deli. We usually record the virtual campfire out of the Reggae Ranch. Unfortunately, we are going home to 90 plus mile an hour winds, so the power is turned off, and with that comes questionable connection, both power and internet. So we're thankful for our friends here at Beach Hut Deli that are allowing us to jack their Wi-Fi and sit out on the back porch and bring this great show and healing community to everybody. And they have the best soundtrack of any sandwich shop I've ever been to. It's all reggae all the time. So if you're in and around a Beach Hut, definitely check them out. Outside of the ability to bring this show because of that, I am so, so grateful for everybody in this community that I'll share once we cut you our stream, because I don't think I can share it publicly yet, but I can definitely share it with you guys when we're done recording live, that would not be possible without this community. So in the air of being vague, thank you for being here. Thank you for bringing your energy, and thank you for trusting us with your stories and for sharing them with us. We do not take it for granted.
Thank you for joining us around the virtual campfire. Sometimes we talk about heavy topics. Sometimes we tell poop stories. But regardless of what we've discussed, we always like to end the show on a high note. At the end of our live broadcasts, we invite our community to share what they're grateful for in a segment called the Group Gratitude Circle. Every week, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life to connect with us and witness these stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. If you'd like to gather with us around the campfire live each week, join the Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire VIPs. If this were a legit talk show, you'd be sitting in our studio audience. We haven't been picked up by a major network yet, so for now, we gather on Zoom. Here, you can connect with the community before and after the broadcast, hang out for soundcheck when we have musical guests, participate in the Q&A, join in on the group gratitude circle, and be eligible to receive prizes and gifts from our sponsors, partners, and guests. Learn more and join us at hikingmyfeelings.org/campfire. Don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, and anyone else who could use a dose of community and connection. Follow us on Instagram, we're at Hiking My Feelings, and you can tag your journey with hashtag HikingMyFeelings. And if you're picking up what we're putting down and you want to be part of this movement, join the Hiking My Feelings family at family.hikingmyfeelings.org. In case nobody told you lately, you are a brilliant human who is destined to do epic things in this world. Join us next week for more stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. Until then, happy trails!